The single highest scored story on Hacker News today, 1,149 points, 370 comments, is Kaga's announcement that they've added a setting to remove paywalled links from search results entirely. If you're not familiar with Kaga, it's a paid search engine. You subscribe monthly and get results with no advertising and no tracking. Their explicit model is that the user is the customer, not the advertiser.
The paywall filter feature is elegant in its logic. If you're searching for information and a result links to an article you can't read without paying for a subscription you don't have, that result has negative value. It's not just unhelpful, it's actively frustrating. You click it, you hit a wall, you lose time. Kaga's argument is that a search engine that respects users should let them opt out of this class of result entirely.
The business model tension here is interesting. Kaga doesn't sell ads, so they have no revenue relationship with the publishers who would lose referral traffic from paywalled content. A Google or Bing has relationships with those publishers. They're part of the same advertising ecosystem that would make this feature politically difficult even if it made sense from a user perspective. Kaga's independence from advertising lets them make choices that aligned companies can't.
The HN comment thread is largely enthusiastic, but has a thoughtful minority arguing that filtering paywalled links degrades the quality of search, results in domains where the best journalism is behind paywalls. That's a real tension. The New York Times, the Financial Times, Nature. A lot of high-quality information lives behind subscription walls, and a setting that removes it entirely might optimize for immediate accessibility at the cost of information quality.
The Kobo story is the hardware counterpart to this open web energy. Kobo is the e-reader that competes with Kindle, and a developer project called Cobalt has enabled Kobo devices to run applications beyond the built-in reading software. 670 upvotes and 189 comments tells you this landed with the HN crowd as a genuine unlock.
What's particularly interesting is the nature of the excitement. Kobo already runs Linux underneath. The hardware is capable, but the device was locked down to its reading-specific interface by software choices. Cobalt appears to give users access to that underlying capability without requiring invasive modifications that would void warranty or damage the device. The comment thread has people immediately proposing use cases. RSS readers, note-taking apps, language learning tools that leverage the e-ink display for its eye-friendly properties.
The Galactic Compass 2 augmented reality update is a smaller story but thematically coherent here. It's an astronomy app that overlays the location of galactic features on a live camera view. The e-ink Kobo running a star chart, the galactic compass showing you where the Milky Way's core is relative to where you're standing. There's a through line in these tools about using computing to make the physical world more legible.
The universe map announcement from Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory belongs here too. Scientists have released the largest two-dimensional map of the universe, compiled from the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument Survey. The map covers millions of galaxies and represents a fundamental expansion of our observational dataset for understanding dark energy and the large-scale structure of the cosmos. It's the kind of result that takes years of observation and months of data processing to produce, and it's being released as an open dataset.
Now let's spend some time with what if we're wrong on something from today's feed, because I think there's an assumption worth interrogating. The strong consensus in the Rust ecosystem and in the HN thread on Rust Glancer is that the 100 times lower memory footprint is straightforwardly a win, that a lighter language server is better, that Rust Analyzer's comprehensiveness is a tax that developers pay unnecessarily.
I'm not sure that's as clean as it sounds, and I want to push on it. The reason Rust Analyzer is comprehensive is that Rust's type system is genuinely complex. Lifetime analysis, trait resolution, borrow checking, these require understanding large portions of your codebase to produce correct results. When you build a lighter server that doesn't maintain that full model, you're making trade-offs about which semantic analysis you actually perform. The claim is that you can cover 80 or 90% of use cases, but the 10 or 20% you miss might be disproportionately the hard cases, the ones where the language server's help is most valuable.
That's a real concern. The history of good enough approximations in developer tooling is mixed. Sometimes a faster, lighter tool genuinely suffices. Other times the cases it gets wrong are exactly the ones where correctness matters most, and a tool that's wrong confidently can be worse than no tool at all. If Glancer gives you a no errors signal on code that Rust Analyzer would flag, and you ship based on that signal, the 100 times memory savings has negative value.
The assumption to probe is the one in the user distribution. Glancer's bet makes sense if most developer interactions with a language server are simple, autocomplete on known types, straightforward error highlighting. That's probably true for the median interaction, but developers working on the hardest parts of a code base, the parts where Rust's complexity bites hardest, might be exactly the users who need the full model most.
So if we're wrong about Glancer being straightforwardly beneficial, here's what to watch. The error cases. If the HN community starts reporting that Glancer misses real errors or produces incorrect suggestions on complex lifetime scenarios, that's the signal that the architectural trade-off doesn't hold in the critical cases. Watch for the bug reports that come from sophisticated users on large codebases, not the enthusiastic early adopters on smaller projects.
Worth watching also, whether Rust Analyzer adopts any of Glancer's architectural ideas. If the approach is genuinely better in ways that don't require the trade-off to be as sharp as it currently is, the right outcome is probably a merged set of ideas rather than two competing tools. Kladov building Glancer as a research project alongside Rust Analyzer suggests that might be the intended trajectory.